Welcome back to the Mix Files. This week, our guest is Mike Colgraff. Mike started the live DJing on Mixstream Radio here at Mixposure.com. Mike started the interviews on Mixstream Radio. Mike started Saturday Night Rocks. A fine musician. If you weren't aware of that, you will be after the Mix Files finishes today. This is one of Mike's tunes. It's called Having Fun. By golly, that's what we're going to do this evening. Each week, the Mix Files premieres a new interview on Saturday Night Rocks with EBS and Friends. Friends would be Dolce, Daddy Rabbit, Devo Dell, and me, Cooter, host of the Mix Files. Mike is going to tell us a little bit about a lot of things. One of them is how Mixstream Radio got started with the live DJs. He'll tell us how he got into music from first, there was darkness. That's how he starts it. This is a fun one. They all are. We appreciate you tuning back in for another Mix Files on Mixstream Radio. Mixposure.com, featuring not only the finest indie music on the planet, but fine people like Mike Colgraff. We'll let his tune finish, and then Mike and I will start the conversation. We appreciate you being here. Hope you enjoy it as much as Mike and I did.
That the radio came to Mixposure and Saturday Night Rocks itself, and then I just got so many questions for you. I don't want to ask them all at one time, because it's, you know, it would be a pile of stuff, and If you'll just start sharing with us, I'll ask as we go, if you don't mind, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Okay, man, fire away.
Okay, well, joined Mixposure, well, what was it, April 2008, so it's been over 4 years.
Uh-huh.
That's a good time I've had there. I always listened to, you know, when I was doing nothing. Todd, I always had a, you know, Todd equals Dazed.
Yes.
I hope everybody out there knows that.
Yes.
They always had a radio stream going, okay? But what it was just, you know, a Winamp plugin that they used, and they would air over their server, you know, various indies, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So after I've been on the site for a while, you know, I got to had to have some conversations there with Todd. He PM'd me one time. I understand you mentioned Song Planet, you know, and you were a DJ there, you know. What's that all about? So I talked about him, you know, a little bit, explained what it is,
mm-hmm.
what I did. And then I approached him and I said, well, you know, I got the setup for it. Well, why don't we do a test run and see if we can't do live radio right here on Mixposure? You know, and he thought about it, and he pretty much said, well, let's do a test run. Okay, so we set a date and time.
Cool.
I fired up my SAM broadcaster back then, 2.8.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we came a long way from there.
Yeah.
And he loved it. It was just a private auditioning, you know.
Uh-huh.
And he loved it. He loved it. He said, this is great. Okay. Then he gave me the key to the site, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
You know, so had his admin login and everything, and I could set up everything, you know. And then we got started in May with the very first show, Saturday Night Rocks. And that Saturday Night Rocks show name is something that I invented, you know,
uh-huh.
and I used on another site, you know. So, and I like the comparison, you know. Saturday Night Rocks, abbreviated SNR.
Uh-huh.
Saturday Night Live, SNL.
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, uh-huh. it's kind of like along those lines. I thought it was kind of catchy, you know.
Yeah.
SNR would be becoming a household name in the indie community, I was hoping, you know.
Yeah.
And it seems like it has.
Well.
So anyway, that's how all that got started.
That's cool. Yeah. And we hope to continue that. I mean, we're doing our best to keep up, you know, the high standards that we perceive that you set. And there is one thing particular I would like to ask you at this point, and that is, some people have been, I wouldn't say upset, but I would say adversely curious about us using the name Saturday Night Rocks. And while you're on the line and while we are doing this, would you please clear up for anyone who may be wondering whether or not we are using Saturday Night Rock's name with your permission and your blessing?
Oh, that's very, very simple. You know, as I'm not sure exactly when I return, you know, I cannot expect Todd and Jim is working tirelessly, you know,
mm-hmm.
On the radio station, Maurice as well, you know. I couldn't hold back and expect, you know, to come back and God knows how many months, you know, and have that Saturday night spot open, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So EBS, you know, who does the Saturday Night Rocks now?
Right.
With friends, obviously.
yeah.
Which is the cool part. I like that.
Yeah.
He contacted me, you know. He said, well, you know, how are you doing? You know, all the pleasantries. And then he flat out asked me, would you mind if I use the show name Saturday Night Rocks? And I was first curious, and I said, well, who would be doing it? You know, which DJ would be using the name and doing the show?
Uh-huh.
And he said he would. And I said, you got my blessing. Go forth. Do it. Very simple.
Cool.
See, I have my standards too, you know.
I hear you. So there was no, everything is above board and everybody is still buddies and, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I couldn't have been happier with the choice, and I'm actually glad he asked, because I didn't want a show name to die until I, sometime, God knows when, like I said, resurrected.
Yeah.
You know, that show name is a staple, you know, it's a big part of Mixposure, you know, and people that come to a Saturday night show listening to the very great independent music, they do expect something special, you know, and that's what that night was always for me. And I wanted that tradition to be continued, and I couldn't think of a better guy than Maurice leading it up and then involving some friends, as he puts it. You mm-hmm. know, that's just absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. And those interviews you guys are doing, perfect. You know, I started all this, you know, with the center stage. You know, yes. I'm glad this tradition is being carried forward, you know, and it's just wonderful. You know, it just brings me a lot of joy.
Yeah. I know that you have given a lot of joy, too, with what you did over the years on the radio station.
I would hope so.
Oh, yes. I can't speak for every human being out there or every person on Mixposure, but I know that was something I tried to make each week was Saturday Night Rocks. When the center stages were on, especially, I mean, I would schedule stuff around Saturday Night Rocks. You know, I just...
That's
when,
cool.
When you're the man. I mean, you had it going, and it was always fun, and it was always interesting.
Yeah, and the one thing about the DJing in general, you know, I don't care what show it is, you know.
Uh-huh.
What I always try to be is personable. Don't do it as structured, you know. Okay, I'll play four songs and get in there, announce, whatever. I play things by ear, see what the reaction is. I mean, thankfully, we have a chat room, you know, where people are coming in and listening to the show, and they socialize and all that.
Yes.
But I try to play it by the ear from what I could tell in the chat audience, you know. I mean, even though I had my preset show, I selected my songs, you know, and all that. But I was always flexible, you know. There's just no... you know, like the mainstream radio, there's just no schedule, ABC, 1, 2, 3. You know, you just got to do things on the fly, and you got to be a little bit ad-lib at times to make it more interesting and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're talking about on the indie, on
mainstream. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's one of the things that keeps it so fresh, I think.
Yep.
That and no commercials except for the occasional, you're listening to Mixstream Radio from Mixposure.com, and there's another
and people, one. People need to know that.
Oh, yeah. That's not asking too much to every once in a while. Let them know who they're listening to. I think I want to ask you about Once Upon a Time next, because Rick and Gina are there.
Yes. I mean, that really turned out to be a killer tune. Rick and Gina both, I mean, you know, very, very good friends. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard from him in a while, so I'm going to try to get in touch with them again. But Rick especially is known for his, guitar, lead guitar playing. I mean, he's awesome. And his vocals, you know, on some of the stuff I heard were pretty good, you know. So, again, I laid out an arrangement, came up with a backing track, played all the instruments you hear except for the lead that Rick does in that tune.
Uh-huh.
I played all the instruments, you know, did all the arrangement, sent it to Rick, and he said, oh, I think we got something for this. So Rick and I would imagine Gina, too, they worked on the lyrics for it and the melody for it, and they sent me a finished track back, and I said, that's a winner.
Wondering where my life would take. there someone out there? Once upon a time, we thought that we knew love, but soon we would discover how hard it is to keep hold of. Once upon a time, dreaming was the only way to be lost in our imagination on a midsummer day. Stood on the bank by the river, watching the water flow past, wondering if you'll find the one. Is there someone out
get into music, Mike?
Oh, God. You want me to start from the beginning?
Well, you make the story however you want it. I'm interested in as much as you want to tell, personally.
All right. The very start was, first there was darkness.
You did go back to the beginning.
And then my dad met my mom, and 55 years later,
here we are.
As of August 12th, here I still am. Okay. So, but in the meantime, somewhere down the road, I picked up music. Well, let me tell you first, my family has been, my dad and mom, they've been musical as well. My mom played accordion and the piano.
Uh-huh.
Okay. She didn't play it much while I was, still a kid. But my dad was in marching bands, and he would be playing a piccolo flute, you know. So I was always musical. I was always proud, you know, to watch him in the parade, you know, and
uh-huh.
playing his piccolo flute and what have you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then later on, you know, as I grew up in the teenage, you know, which has been eons ago for both of us, I think.
It's further back than yesterday, man. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I was, you know, mind you, I was still living in Germany,
uh-huh.
obviously. I was listening to the army stations, you know, that they broadcast in Germany. You know, I was listening to all this good Motown soul music kind of stuff, you know,
oh, yeah.
Going back to Barry White and God knows who, you know, and the Supremes and, you know.
Temptations, Tams, Four Tops.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Dave. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was always into the music, you know, and yeah. Somehow I knew I was going to get involved in that because I just loved the sound of it, you know. Then, uh-huh. All right, a few years later, I grew up to be, you know, where I had to go to the army, the German army, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm 17 and a half years old at that point, close to 18. I have not picked up any instruments to this point at all. Mm-hmm. Not at all. So I get into the Bundeswehr, that's the German army back then when it was still East and West, mm-hmm. and I was on the West. So got in there, you know, and what the guys typically would do, you know, after, you know, hard days of training and, you know, do all this crap, they would go into the bar, you know, and drink themselves silly. Yeah, which I did for a little while too, you know.
Yeah.
So and then we got a new guy coming into our battalion, and he shared the room with us, and he had a nylon string guitar, you know, classical guitar.
Yes.
And he would sit there and, you know, pluck around, you know, he was doing the kind of like the finger picking style, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I was just glued to that. So I asked him, hey, can you show me a couple of things on that, you know? And he showed me two chords, A minor and E minor. And tell me, I mean, you got to believe this. I would be, they're going to the bar, get drunk, and I'm sitting in there playing A minor and E minor until I had blisters on my fingers. So anyway, by the time I got out of the army, you know, on our way home, I already bought my own guitar.
Uh-huh.
I already knew how to play, you know, folk songs, German folk songs, you know,
uh-huh.
beer drinking songs and all that kind of stuff, you know,
yeah.
not limited to those two chords, of course.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and, well, ever since then, you know, I just developed my guitar playing. I got into finger picking, you know, with the steel picks, you know, on each finger,
uh-huh.
that kind of stuff, you know. And that was it. That's how I got started.
Well, that's the answer. That's it then. How did it start for you, online collaborations?
Well, actually, it started, way back when, it was early 2000s. And I had a little guitar piece called Dreaming out. You know, it was just nothing fancy. You know, it was just some picking on a classical guitar, and I had one little synthesizer playing some, you know, odd melody to it, you know, mm-hmm. plucked in every now and then. So so that got a good reception way back when, you know, and I met this lady, Sharma Kay. She was on SoundClick, you know, might as well mention the site, why not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to know each other pretty well, and she was like one of those outgoing people, you know, that would speak to everybody, try to help everybody, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we got to become real friends, and we even got as far as talking on the phone, you know. Mm-hmm. So and that's a story there. I really want to share this because that's where one of my tunes originated.
Cool, yeah.
So we had one phone conversation once, and she called down and out, you know, she had a really horrible day at work, you know, her boss was coming down on her really terribly, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you got to know one thing about Sharma and rest of, you know, Sharma, rest in peace, because she's not with us anymore.
Yeah.
But she would talk your ears off. I mean, she could talk. I mean, you couldn't get a word in there edgewise. As she was talking, I was sitting there jotting down what started out as a little poem, you know, to send to her after the conversation, you know, to encourage her, you know, and lift up her spirits a little bit. So, and the words kept on flowing, and before I knew it, well, it was so much, I mean, guess what happened? A little bit later, Sharma, after I sent those lyrics to her, or, you know, what turned into be lyrics,
uh-huh.
said, would you mind if I sing them to your guitar piece, Dreaming. You know, and I named the tune, you know, Another Day for a Friend.
Uh-huh.
She sang that song. She put those lyrics to the music. I mean, she sounded like an angel, you know. So that was my very first online collaboration that really is worth mentioning.
It breaks my heart.
Satin originate in the chat room the idea for you guys doing the cover of that?
As far as I recall, no.
Okay.
I actually toyed around with this before I even contacted Mac about it.
Uh-huh.
I had an original composition, you know, which, you know, was, you know, too close to what the original was, you know. And then he and I got on Skype, Mac and I did, and, you know, we played around a little bit, you know, okay, move the key. And then we changed his signature to 6/8 beat, you know. And I had the same arrangement in mind, you know, as far as the accompaniment is concerned, you know. And I'll just flesh it out a little more, you know. And then he said, I really like this. I think we can do this, you know. So, well, I sent him the backing track. And, you know, after a few more modifications, you know, there you go. He had the perfect backing track to go along, and he obviously is an awesome singer, so he put the lyrics to it, you know, and he sang the song, he sang his heart out to this new arrangement, and I really don't think of it as much, you know, as a cover, because it's so different. We are not really covering. The only thing we're covering is the lyrics and the melody, but the entire arrangement is brand new, you know. It's almost kind of like gospel-like, you know, kind of trancing over into the blues a little bit, I suppose.
Yes, it is, yeah.
You know, so, you know, and I mean, and for the solo, you know, originally we had plans to have a violinist in there, you know, and that didn't work out too well. So, well, Mac plays awesome lead guitar, you know, why not do that?
There you go.
And hey, there it is. It's finally done.
And white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I'd always missed with these eyes before. What the truth is, I can't say anymore. 'Cause I love you. Yes, I love you. nights in white satin, never reaching the end. Letters I've written, never meaning to send. Beauty I've always missed with these eyes before.
Shuffle, I want to ask you about too, Mike. This is the first song since I've been doing the mix files that will be in two different mix files, this same song. It was in Max as well. So this is interesting because we'll get to have Max's side of the story and your side of the story both on this one. So would you share with us from your perspective? We're not fact checking or anything, but it's just interesting to know, you know, how it came to be. And, you know, Mac knows some things about it from his side that you're obviously not going to be of everything he's aware of from his side.
Sure.
He's not going to be aware of everything that you're aware of from your side. So if you would share that with us, and that's just a really fine piece of music too, Mike.
Yeah, I think that's probably one that I consider probably at the top, you know, near the top. So, well, there's really not a whole lot to share from my end, you know, because Mac did all the work, you know, after.
Well, you just took the air out of my balloon.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, No, it's really simple. I mean, it's really very simple, you know. I came up with this, you know, backing track for blues, you know. I fleshed it out, you know. I played some lead in there, you know, the opening lead guitar, you know, that smooth, you know, smooth distorted guitar that you hear.
Yeah.
That's me throughout the song, you know, wherever you hear that.
Cool.
I came up with this, you know, and I don't know how this works, but... Okay, the way I did this song was, you know, with the instrumental leads and all that, you know, I figured, okay, well, I'll take a break here in this verse, you know, don't play any lead at all, because I figured that's where somebody's going to sing. Mm-hmm. Just throw in a few licks, you know, and that'd be it. Mm-hmm. You know, and then I anticipated, you know, just where to put the lead, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And really, it's the craftsmanship that Mac is using with his ability to, you know, form vocals, you know, lyrics, you know, and work them into an arrangement like that, that made this song shine. I mean, that's, as far as I know, and Mac and I talked about this a little bit, you know, where you come up with lyrics, you know, well, you know, some he picks up in the chat room, you know, he catches, you know, some catchphrases here and there, you know, it might be in a chat room, it might be somewhere else, you know. Mm-hmm. Out of real life, and eventually he comes up with a general idea, and then he just, you know, molds all those different phrases that he picks up and molds them into a cohesive, you know, lyrical structure.
Yes, he's quite good at that too, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Yes,
yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
So anyway, and what amazed me, because, you know, once I thought my backing track, that's it. Mm-hmm. I hadn't had to touch it. it sat with him for quite a while, you know, until he had the lyrics together. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once I heard what he did with it, I mean, I almost fell off my chair.
Yeah.
I was like, man, this is a hit.
Thank you. circles with a bottle in my hand. Keep the moon on my shoulder, chase away the pain with just a little more madness to keep me from going insane. And do a brand new dance, me and my duffel.
Oh, well, you know, to be honest, there at the beginning when I started working on this one, there was really no concept or idea behind it. You know, I just started out with something basic and I started adding to it, you know, and then I started crafting it a little bit more. And then, you know, back then, I mean, that was the first time I ever worked with software called Reason, you know. That's what a lot of electronica people out there use. Well, as I was going along, you know, what I love about those kind of tracks, you know, the layering capabilities you have, you know, with the different sounds, you know, place them just right, you know, the timing of it and all that kind of stuff, you know. And then I got into the meat of it, you know, and as I was building up on it, and I said, well, Lost Literary, it's, you know, and it was a simple thing. It's just like... Man, the possibilities are endless. I'm lost, literally lost here as to what to do next, you know?
And so it became the title of YouTube.
Yep, that's it.
I love it when stuff like that happens, man. I love it. Here We Go Again.
Oh, that's a good one. I came up with that one, and I wrote the lyrics, by the way. I came up with that one. First of all, I had the musical track, excuse me, fleshed out, you know, and I had a pretty good idea where I wanted to go with it from the get-go. Then I said, well, I'm going to give it a shot here and try to write some lyrics, you know, and the title Here We Go Again kind of reflects pretty much a long-time relationship, you know, between, really, I mean, you know, husband, wife, or it could be, you know, whatever, you know, mm-hmm. relationships, okay? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's kind of like it's this, if you listen to the lyrics carefully, you will find that there's this repeating element in it, you know, the Here We Go Again, you know. It's pretty much a song about somebody, you know, I hope I can say that, bitching. Mm-hmm. Somebody
you just
bitching
did
about,
say it.
Yeah, okay, well, you know, I've said words before, but I'm not going to go there. Anyway, so somebody complaining about how they're stuck in a rut, you know, and nothing is ever going to change, you know, and everything is always the same, you know. But then again, you know, you can't help yourself but loving that person, you know.
Yeah.
And when I wrote the lyrics, I had no idea who would sing it at the beginning, because I knew I would need a good singer, because I gave singing up 30 years ago, and me trying to get back into singing, that would be a total disaster. Never mind. Mm-hmm. But I wrote it, if you pay attention to the lyrics, there's no gender mentioned. There's mm-hmm. no he, there's no she, mm-hmm. nothing. So it was not gender specific. So I could have had a male singer do this mm-hmm. or a female singer.
Oh, I'm so glad you went the way you went, because I love it.
Yes, Maria Danes, I mean, she is awesome. She's in a rock blues band over in England, mm-hmm. and she and Paul, I mean, they're just absolutely gems, you know. They have a big cause that they're working for and playing their music for and dedicating their time, and that's where all the proceeds go from their shows, is, you know, taking care of animals, you know, saving animals, rescuing animals, you know.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, I mean, they're good people.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll send Maria that track that I had, okay, mm-hmm. along with the lyrics, you know, and she said, I might have a go at this, you know, and I tell you what, a day later, I had an email with an MP3 on there. Okay, here's the whole thing, here's just my vocal track, make any adjustments you want to. The only adjustment I made was I didn't use the whole track, I just put her vocal track into my DAW, digital audio workstation, for those uh-huh. laymans out there, uh-huh. and, you know, just mixed it right, you know. And there the song
one day.
Was one day.
Wow.
I mean, I worked on the arrangement and the lyrics, you know, for about a month, but...
yeah.
But she laid those vocals down and she said, well, this is, you know, remember, she comes from a blues rock oriented genre. You
know,
and this was kind of jazzy.
Yeah.
You know, she said, this is so unique for me to be singing something like mm-hmm. this, you know, and she dug it more than I did, actually.
But, you know,
but then we got Jim Miller, you know, another life element in this, you know, other than me doing a backing track. He played the horns on that.
Mm-hmm.
He's out of Paradise, Texas, you know, and I would be... very, very bad person not to give him his kudos. You know, he did a great job on the horns. I mean, he fell in love with the track that I sent him with, just the backing track and Maria's vocals. And he was the last person adding the horns to it. He said, man, I got my headphones on and I'm listening to the track and I'm playing along. I mean, it was like making sex with Maria. You know, through the music, you know. I mean, that's how good he thought it was, you know. So anyway, yeah, he got it done, and there's the track.
Mm-hmm.
only thing I want to add, and obviously, it's a no-brainer. You know, anybody out there who listens to Mixposure and listens to Mixstream Radio, you know, spread the word, people, because we're not, you know, into the money-making business, you know, as far as the DJs are concerned. We are there to take your music out there to the people who need to hear that music, who are bored of mainstream radio, and they need to start listening to our Mixstream. Simple as that. Spread the word, because we are here to support all of the fine independent artists that are out there all across the world.
I hear you. And it's a labor of love from all of us.
It is.
This has been the Mix Files, only on Mixstream Radio, only from Mixposure.com. We hope you have enjoyed it. We hope to see you again next week. We appreciate you tuning in. Mix Files.